if you've lived at all here on planet Earth, you know that worrying is something that's just a part of life, you know? Whether it's worrying about something that might make sense or worrying about the smallest things, it's just bound to happen. There have been times where worry has completely taken over my life, where I'm worrying about my job, my looks, my friends, my family, anything I could think of, big or small, I was worrying about it. But the thing is, any time I worried, it never made anything better. And it still doesn't make anything better, which is why I've learned a few tips and tricks on how to reduce and ultimately eliminate most worry from my life. And the thing is, worry can cause physical issues. I remember one time I was supposed to visit my family, and a part of, you know, visiting family is getting on a plane because, you know, I lived a few hours by plane. So here I am, terrified of planes. I don't like being around all those people. It just bothers me, you know, flying, that's a whole another thing in itself. I mean, you know, planes flying, that concept is pretty crazy if you ask me. But anyway, so I was not excited. And the few weeks leading up to this, I was so nervous. Like every day I was like, oh my gosh, I don't want to go. Like I'm scared. And this was kind of like a new worry that I had. I wasn't anxious about flying in my younger childhood years. It was only recently that I had a fear of flying. But as the days started getting closer, I got sick. Once you look at that, I had let worry accumulate in my body that it actually caused physical issues. So the day before we left, well, we were supposed to leave, I felt so horrible, had a really sore throat. It was like I was swallowing glass. It was just insane. And I truly believe worry did this to me. Now, it was at this time that I really realized that I need to stop worrying so much. I remember I used to be so worried because I'd have to go in public and I was scared of what people might think of me, and these anxious thoughts filled my head so much that because of this, I spiraled into a panic attack. So clearly worry is not great. We've addressed that. But now the question is, how do we get rid of this? So about a year ago, I read the book How to Stop Worrying and Start Living by Dale Carnegie. And at this point in time, I was going through a very rough patch. I had been doing really great for a while and then started to fall into a rut. You know, like life is, it's kind of like a roller coaster. It's a fun one, if you ask me. But worry seemed to flood my mind at this time. I was on super high alert. So I decided I needed to do something, you know. So I saw this book in my house, How to Stop Worrying and Start Living by Dale Carnegie. And I decided to pick it up. And I think this book really changed my life. Throughout looking through this book, I wanted to kind of share what's really helped me in my life. So the first thing, Dale Carnegie starts talking about living in day-tight compartments. So this means focus on today, not tomorrow, not yesterday, focus on today. And this automatically made me think of this Bible verse, Matthew 6:34. Jesus said, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." And Jesus reminded us here that we shouldn't be worried about future problems. We should just live each day as its own. And now this really puts the importance on living in the present. But obviously that is way easier said than done. But there are some tools for getting rid of constant worry that I've applied. When I first started my social media platform, I was really worried that I would fail, whatever that means. You know, I guess that's subjective to the person. But I feared that I wouldn't impact enough people, or I wouldn't be able to turn this into a business, or I wouldn't be able to post enough and keep on schedule with my podcast. Whatever it was, I was worrying about failing. But from this book, I asked myself a few questions. First one, analyze the situation honestly and figure out the worst that can happen. And maybe you're using this for failing, like I did. And I actually had written this down, and I wrote, the worst that can happen is people don't like me and I get hate comments, which I actually already do. So the worst has already happened. or the worst that could happen is I quit and do something else with my life. Okay. So I figured that was the worst that could happen. And the second step, accept the worst if it is to happen. So I remember sitting down, seeing this image in my mind, and I was like, okay, you know, this isn't too horrible. I mean, if I didn't succeed, that's okay. I can just do something else, you know? And so I did that. I accepted that image in my mind. And now the third step, calmly devote time and energy to improve upon the worst that you have already mentally accepted. So in this case, I decided to make a set plan for how I would have a harder time failing, you know? So I set aside time to record content, made adjustments if needed as time went on, you know? So you really want to see, okay, what can I do to make sure the worst doesn't happen? You know, if it happens, I've already mentally accepted it, but let me see if I can try to improve upon the worst case scenario. So this has been really great for any time I have that fear of failing, I automatically think of that, or fear of what other people think. That's a really good one. And another few questions that I've adopted into my life are these four. And I remember an example that I used these questions was one day I woke up and I was having a little bit of a bad mindset day. I didn't like my body at all that day, even though the day before I thought I looked fine, you know. I woke up and I was just not having it. And I started worrying because it was going to be a busy day with seeing people, and I was really worrying about what I would look like to them. So I think this was about a year ago, although I've had these instances very often, but I know it was recently after I used this book. So I asked myself, okay, what am I worrying about? I wrote down, I'm worrying that people will think I look ugly. Okay, so what can you do about it? What can I do about it? Well, I can try to focus on something else for the day, because I can acknowledge that sometimes it's just me having a bad mindset. My body actually does not look different within the span of 12 hours, believe it or not. You know, maybe I'm having some bloating. That could be the case, but all I could do right now is shift my focus to something else and, you know, maybe wear some clothes that I feel pretty comfortable in. And now the third question, what am I going to do? So now that you've answered the second question, listing out some options of what you can do, you're going to state what you are going to do. So I decided, okay, I'm going to get out of bed. I'm going to stop scrolling on my phone. I'm going to not spend so much time looking at myself in the mirror, because that's just not great on those days where you just do not think your body looks the greatest. And then I'm going to go eat some food. I'm going to read a book. And I'm going to focus on my attention on something else. You know, I'm going to focus on having a good time with my friends when I go see them. And the fourth question, when am I going to start? Okay, I'm going to start now. I think now is always the best answer for this last question. So that's just a hint for that. And writing these questions down, these four questions, makes the world of difference. I do this all the time. And seeing these words on paper is just incredible. And now, sometimes it's hard for us to think logically, if you know what I mean. Our emotions are just blinding us to where we can't even think rationally. Honestly, I would suggest writing this down somewhere you see it often. Like if you tend to worry, like every time you get up in the morning, like write some of these steps down on like a sticky note in front of like on your mirror or something. But anyway, so some things to remember when you feel like your emotions are getting the best of you and you can't think logically. Concentrate on getting the facts and don't make a decision before you have sufficient knowledge on the problem, according to Dale Carnegie, which I completely agree with this. So, two things he suggested. When you get facts, pretend you are collecting information for someone else. So eliminate the emotion. So maybe you're getting facts about a certain problem in your life. Maybe you're on a plane and you have had some turbulence. Now, emotion can immediately leap to, oh my gosh, we're going to die. The plane is going to crash. But remember, we're eliminating the emotions here. Pretend you are a lawyer. Get facts against yourself and try to prove yourself wrong. So if you're thinking, you know, oh my gosh, we're going to crash, like we're going to die, there's like turbulence, start thinking as if you're fighting against those thoughts. So maybe you could say, okay, I don't know for sure that something's wrong with the plane. Sometimes you just go through, you know, a bumpy patch in the sky, whatever that means, going through some clouds, you know. And this happens quite often. You know, I've been in planes before where there's been turbulence and I'm still alive now. So based on past experience, I think it's okay to say that the chances are pretty good that I'll be okay. So there's how you could prove yourself wrong with that one. And now, of course, with worrying, you don't want to remove all the emotion from it because sometimes you can kind of become numb. And you don't want to stuff these feelings down because sometimes they can come out in a worse way. So Dale Carnegie also goes on to talk about prayer, which I think is incredibly important. I completely agree with this because if I would have used this framework before I was a Christian, I think something would have felt like it was missing for sure. And that was prayer. And prayer helps us put problems into words. It makes us feel less alone. And it really serves as a first step toward action. And maybe your prayers won't be answered in the way you like, but they will be answered in the way that you need. And now I understand that there's some worries that are pretty rational, like financial worries, health concerns, you know. We're going to come across worries that aren't irrational. They do make valid sense. But if you are in this circumstance, this is why praying is so important, because it takes the burden and the pressure off of you. In Philippians 4, 6 through 7, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So if you've accepted Jesus into your heart and he's in there to stay, he's not going to disappoint. And maybe he'll answer in the way you weren't expecting when you bring your requests and your prayer to him. You know, it won't be how you expected, but it is going to be how you needed it and how his plan is overall going to prevail. And I love how it says right here, with thanksgiving. So be thankful, you know, show gratitude for what you do have while you are praying. And I always like to, when I'm praying, I'll, you know, thank God, I'll ask him for what specifically I'm thinking I need, you know. And I always say at the end, like, but your will be done, because sometimes we don't know what's best for us. But when it comes to worries, I think this verse is very fitting, and prayer can help you in a big way. And by the way, in no specific order am I talking about these tools and tricks. I think use whatever you think will help you to get out of this current state. So maybe you go straight to journaling out your problems and, you know, use the four-step framework of asking yourself, you know, why are you feeling this? Why are you worrying? What can you do about it? And then after that, maybe you go and pray. So in no way am I like saying you do this and then that and then that and then that. Whatever feels great. I'm just providing you with some really great tools that I use. Another thing to remember is sometimes we have no control over the circumstances, and most times, in fact, this is the case. So we kind of have to cooperate with the inevitables. And it was, I think, Henry Ford, Carnegie quoted him in this book. He said, "When I can't handle events, I let them handle themselves." Just like getting a cold, getting sick is a natural response by the body. We can try to stop it. We can, you know, try to keep healthy, but it's something we don't have full control over. And so in this case, we must give these things to God and take the pressure off of ourselves. And now, going back to what I said earlier about that verse when Jesus said, you know, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. I also wanted to talk about how we cannot change the past. So Dale Carnegie said it best when he said, don't try and saw sawdust. You know, why worry about the past when you can't change it? And if you're anything like me, you might be so tired, ready to go to sleep. You get in bed, your mind is quiet, and then all of a sudden you turn the lights off and boom, all these thoughts swarming in. And suddenly your mind replays a conversation that you had a few days ago and you're worried the other person heard you wrong and now they hate you. And so you have to tell them what you really meant because you feel that they might have been confused about what you actually said, but it's really late, but you really need to get this out because otherwise you can't sleep. So then you decide to text them and say, oh, by the way, a few days ago when I said this, I actually meant that and I hope you didn't take that wrong. But then it's just really awkward because they don't even remember what you said. And they don't even remember the conversation. So you just made a huge thing out of something that was so silly. And you sat in bed with your thoughts, woke yourself up, and jumped out of bed to text this person. And the funny thing is, I couldn't even tell you about what I texted this person. Like, I don't even know what the conversation was. That's how silly it is. I do not even remember it. And this was just a few weeks ago. I couldn't even tell you. So, just another point to show that sometimes worry just gets the best of us. It's so unnecessary. It makes a big deal out of the smallest things. And this is when I really should have used the framework by Dale Carnegie and asked myself a few of those questions, but practice makes improvement. Next time I will use that. And now maybe you're wondering, okay, like these are great things for when I'm in the midst of worry, but what about just to, you know, prevent it so we don't even get in this mess to begin with, if it even is impossible to avoid, which I think it's possible to limit and to reduce. But I think we're always going to have a sense of a little bit of worry because it's that natural fight or flight instinct. I think if you had like no worry, no care in the world, then you would probably make a lot of dumb decisions and like, you know, touch fire and like keep your hand on there too long and then burn your hand because, you know, you're not worried about the consequences. So I do think worry is important in some aspect and we're always going to have a little bit of it there, that fight or flight response. But we don't want to have excessive worry. So what do we do to prevent it? Well, first thing, according to Carnegie, rest before you get tired, which I completely agree with. Think about what makes you tired and what can you do about it. You know, check yourself throughout the day and ask, are you working harder than you need to be? And specifically your muscles. So right now, actually, as I'm saying this, I feel my shoulders are tense, and this is why it's so important to check in throughout the day. I'm now relaxing my shoulders. I don't need to be tense. You know, sometimes I could catch myself throughout the day clenching my jaw. So just check in with yourself throughout the day. And another thing on how to break worry before it breaks you is drown this emotion out with another, which is gratitude. It's hard to be grateful and also worried at the same time. So keep that gratitude in your mind. You know, thank God for what you have. Be grateful for what's around you and what you do have. And another big thing, which is so important, is sometimes you need to forget about yourself by becoming interested in how you can help other people. And this is such a big one for me. Whenever I start to worry, I like remove myself from my being in a way. I'm, of course, talking metaphorically. But I take myself out from what I'm feeling and I start thinking about who I could do something for, how I could spread love, you know, how I could help someone else. And honestly, this is why I love doing this podcast. This is why I love creating content on social media. It's because I want to be of help to someone else. You know, maybe my struggles or my thoughts can help someone else and serve as a good reminder. And removing myself from always focusing on me has really helped with the worry. Now, I know it's pretty easy to fall into the trap of worrying, but worry is just how you see things. It's just your perspective. A quote I really love that Carnegie mentioned in this book was, "Two men looked out from prison bars. One saw mud, the other saw stars." And I think that's just so powerful because a lot of times we can look at the glass as half empty rather than half full. And this is really where gratitude comes in and why I love always thinking about what can I do for others? How can I serve people? Of course, you want to take care of yourself, but if you are someone who tends to worry, showing gratitude is just so important. And if you do get caught in worry, remember to use, you know, the framework that I mentioned in here and ask yourself questions and write it down and pray. So I hope you really do go get a copy of that book if you are someone who likes to read, maybe an audiobook if you don't. It's very powerful and can really transform your life. And if you do want to hear more, make sure to follow the podcast and follow me on Instagram at adriana.rufrano. The link is also in the podcast description. But other than that, I hope that we can continue creating a life that we love, and I will talk to you next time.